Okay, I'm talking with Janice Fine. She's here at a conference at UMass Lowell, and it has to do with health and safety in terms of immigrant issues. What have you been doing lately, Janice?
Well, for the last 2 years, Dan, I've been doing a study on immigrant worker centers around the country. Mm-hmm. And what motivated the study was that we know that the traditional institutions that have played a role in helping to bring immigrants together to fight for more economic and political power in this country have been on the decline, and I mean political parties and labor unions. And my study was motivated by the question, what institutions are cropping up inside of immigrant communities that are trying to play the role of bringing immigrant workers together to fight for their rights at the job and also in the community and to build economic and political power? So for the last 2 years, I've had the privilege of traveling around the country studying these immigrant worker centers. And these are organizations that are doing a combination of direct service, advocacy, and organizing with low-wage immigrant workers. And really, they work around three issues. One is exploitation at work, because even though immigrant workers, including undocumented workers, are covered by all the same laws and rights as everybody else in this country, we know that they don't know that, and certainly their employers are not enforcing those rights. So that, you know, every day these immigrant worker centers are seeing workers who come in who aren't being paid minimum wage, aren't being paid overtime, who have horrible injuries on the job, and who are unaware of the rights that they have. And these worker centers are playing a role in helping them to fight for their rights and bring cases. The second thing is that these worker centers are helping to publicize the problems that low-wage immigrant workers in our country are having right now to the broader society and to fight for public policy change and also for justice, you know, inside of industry organizations and with specific employers. So the organizations are new. I created a map first to try to identify all of these groups, and I identified about 133 organizations that fit this criteria that are doing a combination of service, advocacy, and organizing with immigrant, low-wage immigrant workers in their communities. In Massachusetts right now, probably altogether there might be six or seven of these. In Boston, there used to be more. Now there are about three, and I'm not sure there is an immigrant worker center in Lowell. But in any event, what we know is that during the golden era of immigration, you know, 100 years ago or whatever, those immigrants faced a lot of obstacles in their struggle to build a family here and to become involved in their communities and to be respected and to be given economic and political rights. But one obstacle they did not face was legal status in this country as immigrants. And we know that now there are millions and millions of low-wage immigrant workers in the United States who are struggling for their rights in the context of an immigration law that makes no sense. In a lot of ways, we know that low-wage immigrant workers in this country will never get the respect and the rights they need and that they deserve without immigration reform. And so, in a way, our country's most powerful and important labor market policy is our crazy immigration policy. And that's part of what I find with this study.
You're coming out of Massachusetts. Why are you doing a nationwide study? Well, who are you doing it?
I finished my dissertation at MIT in political science a couple of years ago, and I wrote my dissertation about these questions. And so I was approached by the Neighborhood Funders Group, which is a national consortium of foundations, who asked me if I would do this study. And then I approached the Economic Policy Institute, and they agreed to sponsor the study. The Economic Policy Institute is the national think tank of the AFL-CIO on economic issues. So I have been doing the study under the auspices of the Economic Policy Institute.
Now, you traveled all over the country.
I traveled all over the country. I did 40 surveys with 40 organizations and then 9 intensive case studies all across the country.
Who's doing the best? What states are doing the best job?
The place that I got the most excited about the infrastructure that exists is in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, there are several really dynamic, exciting immigrant worker centers. There's the Korean Immigrant Worker Advocates based in Koreatown, and they bring together Korean immigrant workers with Mexican immigrant workers to fight for rights in that ethnic enclave economy in Koreatown. There's the Garment Workers Center, which is organizing Chinese immigrant women and Mexican immigrant women in the garment district, in the fashion district in L.A. There are about 125,000 of those women. There's the day laborer organizing that two organizations in L.A. are involved in. One is called IDEPSCA and the other is called CIRLA, and they're running 10 immigrant hiring halls of day laborers and advocating for the rights of day laborers to seek employment. So there's and then there's the janitors union, the SEIU janitors local there has an immigrant worker center that's doing fantastic work. And what happens is because these these organizations work together. They learn from each other. They come together politically, you know, to take on work like, you know, they have a legalization rally that turns out thousands. They've been working with the California state government on really pioneering new models of enforcement and monitoring in low-wage industries where these violations are rampant. So I think LA is a really interesting and exciting place.
So you bring this information back. What do people do with the findings and who's doing?
Well, I mean, the findings sort of, the idea was to really have, the research has four audiences. One audience is the worker centers themselves, and that's just to sort of give them a perspective on the work nationally, you know, looking at all these different organizations to try to give them a reflection about what I think the strengths and weaknesses are, what things I think they could be doing to be in better contact with each other, what kind of infrastructure they ought to be developing with each other, like more regional networks like the one in Los Angeles, maybe a national organization, statewide organizations, ways that they can be more in touch with each other, maybe a national clearinghouse of website where people can post resources they're developing so that the other worker centers can use them. The other audience is foundations because, you know, foundations are looking for ways to help new immigrants incorporate into the United States. They're looking for ways to do poverty alleviation. I want them to see immigrant worker centers as a really smart investment because these organizations are part of the new gateway infrastructure for new immigrants to this country. The other audience is organized labor, you know, is trying to get the labor movement and unions to see worker centers as really important partners in organizing low-wage workers and to recognize that there are really smart strategies and approaches that are being taken by these worker centers that unions could learn from. And there are a lot of tensions between unions and worker centers, and I think it's important to create forums for them to come together and really take advantage of the strengths that each one has instead of just focusing on, you know, their disagreements or their tensions. And I feel like the study might be a way to make some of those conversations, to enable some of those conversations to take place. And then the last constituency is really public policymakers, you know, to sort of echo what's being said right now about the need for a national legalization policy for immigrant workers. And, you know, to bring to that debate a perspective that's based on having looked at all this local organizing that's going on, all the ways in which our current regulation and enforcement, like the Fair Labor Standards Act, the wage and hour division, just is failing millions and millions of low-wage workers in this country right now. So really that's the idea, is to, you know, use the study. It's going to be published as a book by the Economic Policy Institute, and it will be available later on this fall. You know, when my people came here, you know, 10 steps ahead of the Holocaust from Vienna, they faced a lot of struggles, but they did not face the struggle of being here, being allowed to become citizens or being able to work legally. And the difference now is that we have more immigrants now in this latest wave. And the biggest difference is that there are many more people of color and that they cannot get legal documentation to work and cannot get citizenship. And what that means is that we have millions of people who are prime targets for exploitation at the work site. Our immigration policy is sort of at the core of that. The DREAM Act takes on the young people aspect of that, or the college aspect. The DREAM Act is focused on making it possible for the children of immigrants who are undocumented to be able to access student loan programs and in-state tuition and, you know, that kind of thing. Because I can't tell you how many young people I've met around the country as I've traveled doing this study who are, you know, brilliant and wonderful and can't go to college. There's also a national bill that's been introduced called the SOLVE Act, which is the National Immigration Reform Bill that would provide amnesty and would provide a pathway to citizenship for millions and millions of undocumented workers right now. And the SOLVE Act is a really good marker now that exists in Congress that people should be looking at as a new immigration policy, even if in the short term it's hard to think about the Bush administration or the Congress moving it forward. It's really important that someone has articulated what the aspects of immigration policy ought to be.
How can immigration public policy help the average person here in Massachusetts or anywhere?
Well, I mean, the truth is that if there are people who are being exploited and people who are being paid really low wages or not being paid minimum wage, that pulls everybody's wage standards down. So we all have a stake in immigrant workers being paid and being compensated decently, because if an employer knows that they can hire an immigrant worker and pay them half as much as everybody else and do it with impunity because government enforcement is so weak, then it hurts everybody. So no matter what somebody's position is about, you know, whether immigrants should be coming to the United States, once they're here, it's in everybody's interest that their rights are respected and that they're, you know, that the federal minimum wage is adhered to and all the other laws, you know, overtime, etc. I think the other thing is the truth is that our economy has become extremely dependent on the work of immigrants. In New England, that's particularly true. You know, a lot of the economic growth can be attributed to the contributions of immigrants, especially here in Massachusetts, but elsewhere as well. And so, again, I think that the idea is that immigrants are a really vibrant, important part of our economy. What I find in traveling around the country is that immigrant workers now are working in every sector of the economy, whether it's light manufacturing, whether it's construction, whether it's landscaping, whether it's healthcare, whether it's retail, whether it's any kind of hospitality industry. And the truth is also that we as individual consumers are implicated in this too, because, you know, people hire contractors, you know, to do work on their houses or their lawns or whatever. And what I hear over and over again from individual families is how much they think their housekeeper's just great, or that their, you know, that their landscaper is just worked so hard, and, you know, they wish everybody worked as hard. And, you know, I mean, we as a country have a national schizophrenia that we have to address around undocumented immigrants, because the truth is that not just the big corporations, but the small corporations, the mom and pop businesses and individual families are implicated in this process. They hire nannies who are undocumented and, you know, housekeepers. And instead of asking the question, why is our immigration policy so bad? They say, oh, I didn't know that she was undocumented. Isn't that terrible? Instead of understanding that trying to get legal documentation in this country now is like trying to thread a camel through the eye of a needle. So the idea is that there are, you know, there's this enormous workforce that's, you know, being exploited every day. And we all have to think about what is our culpability in that system. And rather than saying, you know, well, they come here and, you know, they get what they deserve, we need to realize we're all immigrants, that we all started out that way. And that when my people came, the only difference between my people 100 years ago and my friends' people today is that my grandparents never got, you know, they had legal authorization to work from the time they stepped off of Ellis Island.
We're talking to Janice Fine. She's here at a conference at UMass Lowell dealing with health and safety issues specifically for immigrants. But I want to thank you for being here, Janice. You work with what program?
Well, I work for the Economic Policy Institute, which is based in Washington, D.C., but I live in Boston, Massachusetts. And if people want to receive more information about the study, they can send me an email at jfine@communitychange.org.
Okay. Now, is there a website for the economic policy?
Yeah, EPI has a website. The study's not up on the website yet because it's not finished. But if people want to see the map of all the immigrant worker centers in the country, they can go onto the Labor Notes website.